You're listening to the Retrovore Union Square Market Report.
First, we'll talk to John Martini of Anthony Road Wine Company. His sustainable local wines come from his vineyard in the Finger Lakes region of New York.
Next, we'll talk to Tim of Flora Perfecta Nursery in Ulster County. He's one of the few local cut flower vendors at the market year-round, and he grows a variety of bulbs from lilies to hyacinths, and later in the season, he has roses.
Lastly, we'll talk to Maggie Miller at Fantastic Gardens out on Long Island. They sell herbs, houseplants, succulents, cactus, orchids, and right now they have a wide selection of beautiful spring bulbs.
My name is John Martini. I own Anthony Road Wine Company in the Finger Lakes, and I'm in the Green Market every Saturday all year long, selling wine on a street corner, which I find to be an enjoyable occupation. The money's good, and the show is great. Anthony Road was started back in 1989. Ann and I started planting grapes actually in 1973. We planted for the Taylor Wine Company. When that market changed because of market conditions, we either had to get out or get deeper. We chose to get deeper and to start the winery. So actually, I'm looking at it, I forgot, it's going to be 20 years old next year. Well, actually this year, because we started in 89, but we opened the doors in 1990. Our first crush was 89. We harvested the grapes. Since that time, we've planted more grapes. We have roughly 75 acres of grapes in the ground, all vinifera except for Vignole, of which we have about 6 acres. So we've got Riesling in the ground, Cab Franc, Pinot Noir, Pinot Gris, Chardonnay, Gewürztraminer, Merlot, Limburger, which is a German red that we use for blending. And I probably missed one, but that's okay. Actually, what's going on, when Ann and I started planting grapes in 73, New York wines were considered and were sweet, fruity wines made primarily with the native varieties, such as Concord and Niagara and Catawba. We planted the French-American hybrids for Taylor. Then, when the market changed, we started looking at vinifera. And so all the grapes we planted for Taylor are out of the ground, and we've put in the grapes that I listed, looking for those that grow best and make the best wine. Riesling seems to be winning for the Finger Lakes. Initially, we worried that they didn't taste like German Rieslings. It was sort of like leveling a chair. We'd keep screwing around with them, and we never got it right. So our winemakers now encourage us, and we are farmers first, a winery second. We don't grow good grapes. We don't make good wine. To just grow the grapes as well as we can, let the grapes make the wine. We're not an organic winery or vineyard. We are what is now termed a sustainable vineyard and winery. The effort there is to keep the environment sustainable. Sustainable sounds static, but it's not. And to be economically sustainable, which is really important, so that I can stay there and my children can stay there and maybe even my grandchildren. And as I said, we're farmers first, and as a farmer, it challenges everything that an individual can do. And a lot of people think of farmers out toiling in the sun with a hoe, and we do that. But a lot of it's mechanical. We use equipment to save labor costs. So you have to be a mechanic. You have to be a chemist, a botanist, a biologist. You need to sell your crop and market it. So you should be good at both of those. You should be an accountant because there's always numbers involved. That's one of the lousy jobs, but I get back to being sustainable economically. And then in our business particularly, you have to lobby. We have to be in Washington and Albany. We are considered a sin industry, alcohol, and so people say, I want you to do this for me, talking to the government, and tax them to get it, and we're the them. Right now, actually, there is an issue going on in Albany that's very important to us. We're supporting wine and food stores because we understand and believe that that will increase the amount of wine purchased by the average consumer based on the convenience of having it really in my brain where it belongs. To us, wine is food. We're here in the Green Market selling wine with other foods. It starts with the grapes. That's a food. Our Department of Agriculture and Markets considers this food. That's why we're here. So we're encouraging everybody to contact their assemblyman and senator and the governor and say, yes, let's put wine in food stores. Make it convenient. I think the other side of it is when it's on a dinner table with a family meal, the children get the idea that wine and alcohol isn't so special, that when you turn 21, all of a sudden somebody's flipped a switch and you know what to do. And as I passed that barrier a number of years ago, I was lucky. My parents did want us to drink at home if we wanted to, or, you know, I won't say that I never screwed up, but I was a lot saner about it than a lot of my friends who weren't given that opportunity. And our children were given the same opportunity. We had wine on the table at almost, well, at every meal. And they have wine on their tables now with their children. And I think it works out great.
Hi, my name is Tim, and I own and operate Flora Perfecta. And I am located in Ulster County on the outskirts of New Paltz. And I attend the Union Square Farmers Market every Wednesday as my permanent assignment. I also do the drop-ins on Fridays occasionally, and also Fort Greene on Saturdays out in Brooklyn. I grow an assortment of cut flowers, primarily bulbs. The bulbs are purchased from a bulb supplier, a bulb importer in New Jersey. The bulbs come from all different places around the world, and I grow them year-round. I have a small greenhouse and several walk-in coolers that I can use to force the bulbs out and sort of fake their natural life cycle so that I can get them blooming year-round. And this is my 19th year in business. I primarily grow lilies year-round and tulips for approximately 6 months of the year. I also do cut hyacinths, and 2 years ago I started doing cut roses. Two of the things that set our flowers apart from most of the other flowers commercially available at greengrocers and kiosks around the city is that ours are usually cut the night before sale, as opposed to being cut and stored until there's enough to be flown, you know, into the United States, where they sit in quarantine and then get distributed to wholesalers, at which point the wholesalers distribute them to the greengrocers that you buy them from. So the fresh cut is one thing, and the other thing is that we don't use any commercial pesticides. We don't use any synthetic pesticides, fungicides. The primary basis for our pest control is neem oil, which kills aphids and white flies and all sorts of other things that can infest the greenhouse. It's a relatively organic and safe thing to use. We handle the flowers with our bare hands, and we expect that if they're put on a kitchen table or a dining room table, that people don't want those pesticides brought into their homes.
My name is Maggie Miller. The name of our nursery here at Union Square Green Market is Fantastic Gardens. We're located in Patchogue, Long Island, and this time of year is a beautiful time. We begin to bring in all of the spring blooming bulbs. We have tulips and hyacinths and daffodils, which for most people really mark the beginning of the season. We also carry a variety of indoor foliage plants. And David, who is the owner and principal grower of Fantastic Gardens, started the business actually 40 years ago with his father. And they began with succulents and cactus. And we still today carry a large variety in everything from 2-inch pots up to 20-inch pots with 40-year-old jade plants. So we have quite a wealth of indoor plants. As the season progresses, we bring in more and more outdoor plants. I think David probably grows a greater number of perennials than almost anybody else on Long Island, and he brings a lot of those into the city so that city gardeners have a chance to add those along with annuals and some small decorative shrubs, a few small ornamental shrubs to their gardens, backyards, terraces, window boxes. We see everybody here at Union Square who wants to do something to green or color their part of the world. One of the many issues facing the growers here at Union Square, as it is for people throughout our cities and our country and our economy, is how can they economically grow a healthy local product, bring it to market in trucks that consume diesel or gasoline, set up canopies or tables, pay labor, and sell their product. Again, fresh, local, healthy is what we aim for here at the Green Market to all of our city customers. Offer as wide a variety as we can possibly grow and bring to market. Sell enough that the farmers can make a living doing it, and preserve their farmland, which again is one of the goals of the Green Market, and still offer it at a price that customers feel is reasonable. We see a lot of people here at the market, and of course there are as many levels of green thumb experience as there are people. So we're asked a variety of interesting and unusual questions. And I think among my favorites are the people who ask if the plants need water. And of course, we always say with a straight face, just as human beings do, all living things need water.
That's a wrap for this week. We'd like to hear from you, so please send us your comments, and if you'd like to have them read on the air, please include your first name and where you're from. You can send them to comments@retrovore.com. Also, you can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/retrovore and join our Retrovore Facebook group.
The Retrovore Union Square Market Report is produced by Matt and Amy of retrovore.com.
Remember, the future
is in the pasture.
See you next week.